the church. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, who are we going to talk about today? Thank you, Julia. Holy Spirit. Yeah, you all are thinking we're going to talk about Holy Spirit again today? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. The Lord has not lifted this from my heart, and we are going to be turning direction as we get into our anniversary time. But I've been praying. I've been praying for you every day this week, and some of you were still taking a step of faith. We said, yes, please pray for me. I want the Holy Spirit to work in my life in a new dimension and in a new way. And I would ask again, have you seen that in your life this week in a new way? Don't make up something. You say, no, not yet. Some of you may feel, I've hit a brick wall. Some of you may say, I've been praying and I feel a little bit discouraged about this. I haven't seen much movement. May I ask you something this morning? It's a no-brainer. If you feel discouraged about your pursuit of God and the Holy Spirit and His greater work in your life, who do you think might be trying to discourage you and hoping that you will just sort of stop and settle down because this is tough and the answer hasn't come yet? Who do you think might be doing that?
The enemy.
The enemy. The devil. I was praying for you all this week, and I was praying for you yesterday, and I was praying for you early this morning when I got up, and I was praying for you in the car, and I'll be honest with you, I feel like I'm hitting a brick wall. Do you ever feel that in prayer? Just kind of, you're praying, it's just like, boom, boom, and you feel the brick wall. Don't stop. Don't stop. You keep praying. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop praying for you. I am partnering with the Holy Spirit for you and for Lighthouse for what God wants to do in our lives. I know that God wants to do something wonderful beyond what we have yet experienced. We've got to keep going. Now is not the time to give in to any feeling of discouragement or slowing down, if that is what you're feeling. And I feel in my spirit that's what you're feeling. Because me, no joke, I've been praying for you every day, a lot, every day, getting up early throughout the day. And like I said, I just kind of feel like, boom, boom. So that tells me it is not natural. It's the opposition of the enemy. Once I realize it's the opposition of the enemy, then that will really fire me up. I'm not stopping. So you don't stop either. You don't stop either. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning, okay? And as we talk about the Holy Spirit this morning, I want to talk about it in a slightly different way. And you're going to kind of think, well, this is kind of a bummer, Pastor Jennifer, to talk about it in this way. But hang with me. It's actually a blessing, not a bummer. As we're looking at the Holy Spirit, I want to look at some other scriptures this morning. The Jews knew about the Holy Spirit. Now, we know far more than they did at the time. The Jews knew about the Holy Spirit. And the disciples of Jesus knew about the Holy Spirit because they knew Old Testament scriptures, right? And the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of, in the Old Testament, He is more often called the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the Lord, but sometimes Holy Spirit. He is found in the Old Testament as well, and they knew scriptures. So they knew that in the very beginning, if we look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, that the Spirit of God was part of creation, making something good, making something new, making something perfect out of what was imperfect and formless. That was the Spirit of the Lord working with God the Father and God the Son, who was the Word, the Word, the expression of God, what could be seen of God, what could be heard of God. This is what John says in his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But the Holy Spirit was there too, and they knew that. They knew that the Spirit of the Lord had helped Joshua lead them, because that's in the Bible. They knew that when they began to build the tabernacle and the tent and all of that, it was very special. It had to be exactly according to God's plan. But how could they do that? How could imperfect people, even though they were very skilled, how could they do this perfect plan according to God's design that had come down from heaven, right? So we have artists in the church, illustrators this morning. We have Keith, we have Chris, we have May, maybe we have others as well. And as good as they are, they are not skillful enough to make this perfect design, because God was perfect and they're imperfect. And so what God did, and we read it in Exodus, he gave his Spirit to the workmen, these two unusual names, Bezalel and Aholiab. You can read it in Exodus. You look it up. Okay? But he put his Spirit and gifted them, made them skilled to make this perfect design that God had, because the design had to be an earthly mirror of heaven and of Jesus, who had not yet come to earth. Who can do that? No earthly person can do that. And so God gave his Spirit, and they did it. They knew that by the Spirit of God and the power of God, that David had wrestled a lion, had wrestled a bear, and had gone against Goliath. They knew these things. But then we come to the New Testament. They knew all of that. And the night that Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples, in John 14, 15, and 16, he began talking about the Spirit of God in a different way and in a new way, in a way they had not heard before, in a way that they hadn't really understood before. He began talking about he's the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. He's going to be with you always. He's going to be just like me. He's going to come in my name. And what that meant was he's going to be my representative. There will be no difference between the Holy Spirit in character, in nature, in quality. There will be, because he's coming in my name, no difference between the Holy Spirit and me. That's what Jesus was saying. And he says all of these things, and the disciples begin to really see and understand that the Holy Spirit was, and is a person. Okay? He was and he is a person. And this is what I want us to talk about for just a little while this morning. And it's really important for us to, we say, well, yeah, I know that. But how many times have you heard someone talk about the Holy Spirit, and maybe you've done it too, and you have said just by accident, or it just came out, you said it. A lot of us have said that, right? It. Or he's a feeling. He's an influence. He's a force. He's a this and he's a that. He is a person. Years ago, I was inside up north, and it was in one of the student conferences, and I was one of the speakers, and I'd been praying, and God had really done some wonderful things in our time together. And it was the morning, and I was leaving. The conference was at an end, and I had really, before the conference, I'd been waiting on the Lord. I'd been fasting, I'd been praying, and the presence of God was really special. I mean, we could feel his work among us and in people. And there was a young man who was studying in China, or was traveling. No, yeah, he was studying. He came in to study traditional Chinese medicine or acupuncture. I can't remember what it was. And he was absolutely not a Christian, but he was very spiritual. He was very spiritual, and he believed all sorts of weird stuff. Oh, he believed Qigong. You name it. He was all about. Hello, my dear. Come on in. You know why she looks like this? Because she's been working, and there you go. That's right. She's been coaching. We're glad she's here. Amen. Somebody pat her and give her a hug. Come on. Ruth, pat her on the back. Yeah, you. Pat her. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Uncle Stephen. We're glad you're here. Yay. All hot and sweaty. No problem, la. Amen. Amen. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit, of course. So this guy, he wanted to talk with me just before I left. And he came into the room, and it wasn't me. Of course it was the Holy Spirit. I'd really been praying and waiting on the Lord. And that was my room in the hotel or the guest house before I left. So he came in kind of weirdly. I'm sorry. He was weird. He, you know when people are kind of, you know, right? Ooh. He came in, he goes, he kind of, and he said, yeah, great feeling in here. or something like that. Actually, it was a little bit flakier than that. I can't remember the exact words now. It was more than that. And I looked at him, and it was very clear. His spirit was not of the Lord, but he could feel something. He could feel something. And so for him, it was a feeling, right? It was a feeling. I want to say something to you as a child of God. When you feel something when we gather, don't attribute it to just a feeling or something like that. The Holy Spirit's at work, right? The Holy Spirit's at work. So at times like this morning when we were worshiping the Lord together and we felt something, it is more than emotion. It is more than we're all together and it's kind of a warm feeling. It is the Spirit of the Lord. It is a person. It is a person who's at work. It's a person who's at work. And so Jesus is talking with them, and they begin to understand. They begin to really understand, oh, okay, he's a person. So I want to talk for just a short time this morning about the person of the Holy Spirit, but I want to talk about the five things that the Bible says, not on the positive side, but on the negative side, okay? Now, the great thing about the Holy Spirit being a person is that he is with you, that you can have a relationship with you, and he wants to have a relationship with you, that he can communicate with you, right? Because people communicate, people relate, people have fellowship, people can help you, all of these things. But the Bible says five things on the negative side. And I want us to talk about the negative this morning, not as a bummer or as a downer, but so that you and I, as people who have a relationship with God, check ourselves and we make sure I'm not like that with the Holy Spirit. I'm not doing that to the Holy Spirit. I'm not treating the Holy Spirit in that way. Because he's a person. Because he's a person. And so that's what we're going to look at just for a little while this morning. And the first two I'm going to go through really quickly because they're really, really strong. And me, I don't think in general that Christians do generally. I don't think they fit into this category. But here's the first one. Are you ready? So the Holy Spirit is a person. Don't blaspheme him, okay? Don't blaspheme him. And I'm going to give you a verse for each one of these things. So he's a person. And let's look through it real quickly. So if you're taking notes or if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 12. And this is the writing of, this is Jesus talking. Jesus, if you look in Matthew 12, he has just healed somebody who was demon oppressed or possessed. I have to go back and look. I can't remember right now. Anyhow, the demon had influenced him and he was both he was mute, he could not speak, and he was also deaf. Jesus heals him. And the Jewish leaders say, this is the work of the devil. This is the work of the devil. And then Jesus says this. So let's look at it real quickly. So this is the strongest one. I've started with the very strongest one. We're going to go to other ones in this short time that we have. So look with me, Matthew 12, 31, 32, words of Jesus. Every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven, except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come. And that expression just means never. Okay, it's a literary expression. It just means never. So now I have a question for you. You got to be honest. How many of you have ever in your life thought or been afraid that maybe you said something and you blasphemed the Holy Spirit? You committed the unpardonable sin. We've read that, right? The unpardonable sin. How many of you have ever felt that before, sometime in the past? Anyone? Okay, thank you. One of our board members just raised his hand. And your pastor. I have. Keith has. Some of the others have also, right? And we thought, oh no, have I said it? Have I gone too far? Have I done that? And so I want to just, and some of you are saying, what? Of course not. I'm so glad you don't feel that way. But real quickly, let's look at this. And I want to encourage you in this. This passage is considered one of the hard sayings of Jesus. Some things are really hard, right? Do you ever read the New Testament, especially? You read something, you think, what? I don't understand that. That's tough. That's hard. I don't get that. This is one of those passages. Bible scholars all agree. This is a tough one to understand. I'm not going to go into detail, but I just want to encourage you in this, okay? And you've been afraid, what if I committed? Or somebody that you know or love, they have said something horrible about God. Yeah? I mean, horrible about God. I'll look at something on Facebook or Instagram, and I will literally, it just shows up on my feed, I will literally, it's so awful. It may be something, you all have seen it online, it may be like a sexual joke about God or something like that. It's blasphemy, it's horrible. And I, in shock, I realize, like, oh God, how can you not strike immediately? How can you not judge? How can you not do that? Because Jesus said this. So I want to ask you another question. Can you think of anybody in the Bible, in the New Testament, who was a blasphemer? Can you think of anyone? Think just a minute. We can, right? We can. Who was it? The one who wrote, the earthly author of most of the New Testament. Who was it? Paul. Let me give you the verse. You ready? Okay. And this will help you. Here we go. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. He's writing to Timothy, his son in the faith. This is near the end of his life. And this should encourage you. And he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me. He considered me faithful and trustworthy, putting me into service, even though I used to be a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor or insolent opponent. Pause right there just a minute. One of the things that I laugh about that actually makes me very happy. Merle, can I use you as an example? Merle? I'm going to use you as an example. You see Merle back there? Dear nursery parents, dear toddler parents, do you know that Merle, that one, right back there, into whom you have entrusted your children, used to be a blasphemer and a persecutor of Pastor Rowena, who ministered to her? Is that right, Merle? She says, yes. But God counted her worthy. God counted her worthy, and God counts you worthy. But I received mercy because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that comes from Christ Jesus. That should encourage every one of us this morning, whatever we have done in our past, whatever we have said in our past. The moment you began to move towards God, when you began to walk towards Him, when you called on God, when you gave your life to Him, He pours His mercy and His grace upon you. He qualifies you. He counts you faithful. He counts you worthy. He makes you suited and fit for all of His service and all of His ministry. Every one of you. Every one of you. And so you know what? Being a blasphemer against the Holy Spirit can't be what we think it is. Because Paul was a blasphemer against the Holy Spirit. He was. He was a blasphemer. Let me read something for you that will help us understand. This is from a study Bible. To commit this sin, ready? I'm reading this to you because the author says it better than I do. Okay? One must consciously, persistently, deliberately, and maliciously reject the testimony of the Spirit that Jesus is Lord and that He has saving power. It's a rejection of the Lord that you keep on rejecting. And that's what the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is. That's my understanding. Because when Jesus, before He went back to heaven, what did He say? I put into the hands of the Holy Spirit all the work of drawing people to Me. When He comes, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what the Holy Spirit does. I've given you the example before, but just want to remind you again. Years and years ago, in the small town where I lived in the U.S., there was a very, very ungodly man. I mean, really, he was a bad guy. He really was. He was cruel. He was mean. He was malicious. His family, many around him, were really Christians, and they loved God. And he rejected God and anything to do with God. And then late in life, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And so people in his family went to see him, and he wouldn't listen to anybody. He wouldn't have anything to do with them. Nope. And then finally his nephew, who was a missionary in Senegal for a few years, went to his home, knocked on his door, and he said, Uncle, please let me talk with you. Let me share Jesus with you. He slammed the door. He said, I don't want to hear about Jesus. You can talk to me when I'm on my deathbed, and not before then. And he slammed the door shut. He never opened his heart to Jesus. And as far as I know, he died without a relationship with God. And he is in hell now. Why? He blasphemed the Holy Spirit. He blasphemed. But I think blaspheming the Holy Spirit, from what I can understand, is for people who are not in a relationship with God. It describes people not in a relationship with God. And so let's look at the next one, okay? The Holy Spirit is a person. Don't resist Him. So the first one is blaspheme. Y'all are thinking, man, Pastor, these are heavy. It's in the Bible. We're going to get to other things in just a minute. So the next one is don't resist Him. And this is in the Bible also. So don't blaspheme Him. Don't resist Him. So think for just a minute. New Testament, can you think of any experience? Can you think of anything that happened in the book of Acts where people resisted the Holy Spirit? Think just a minute. Acts chapter 7. Stephen, the first martyr of the church. They have arrested him. He's been performing miracles. By the way, some of you think Maybe if Stephen had been more gentle in how he talked, they wouldn't have stoned him to death. Set that aside, they were determined to kill him. They were determined to kill him. They have arrested him. They stand him in their middle, in the middle. It is an illegal trial. It is, apparently, it's open air, as far as we know. They are gathered around him like lions and wolves, ready to attack him. And Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, is standing in their midst, and he just starts preaching the gospel from Genesis all the way through. And then he says at one point to these leaders, "You stubborn people!" Some of you have a different translation. What does it say in your Bible? I like the other word too. This word, stubborn. Stiff-necked, okay? Remember that this was usually an agricultural society, and a lot of people farmed. And so they would farm with usually with oxen or with cattle. And those, any farmers here? No farmers. Okay. I plant tomatoes, that's it. I'm not a farmer either. But they would try to put the yoke on the oxen. And some oxen were really stubborn, and they didn't want the yoke on them, and their neck would be stiff, and it would be hard to put it on. And so that's the example that Stephen uses. He says, you stiff-necked people. And what it means is you're really, really stubborn. Why are they stubborn? Because God has been sending his Holy Spirit to speak to them, and they refuse to listen. He says, you are heathen at heart, deaf to the truth. You are always resisting the Holy Spirit. So the first one, blasphemy, deliberate. Resisting, deliberate. It's deliberate, okay? It's a choice. That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Verse 53, you deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels. And there are those that know God is moving, that know God is speaking, and they still resist. They still resist. Is there hope for a person who resists the Holy Spirit? There's no hope if they continue to resist the Holy Spirit, right? Because then it becomes blasphemy. But I want to ask you something this morning. Was there somebody listening to Stephen who was resisting the Holy Spirit and later he stopped resisting? Who was it? Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. So I want to encourage you this morning, brothers and sisters. Some of you are praying for people or you're around people and you just think, they are so hard-hearted, they will never turn to the Lord, right? They will never turn to God. There's no hope for them. Might as well not even pray. I will tell you, there is hope, but I will tell you this. The person that's resisting the Holy Spirit, do you know what it's going to take? Boom. It's going to take something tough. It's going to take something strong. It's going to take something that will break that stiff neck. And you know what it did for Saul as he was on his way to murder Christians? It took Jesus striking him down from heaven and saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." It takes a strong hand. There are people I'm praying for. Let me tell you what my prayer is. I love these people with all of my heart, and they are family members. Here's my prayer, and it's from a heart of love. God, you do whatever it takes to bring that person to yourself, whatever it takes. Some of us are scared to pray that prayer because it might be something tough. It might be something tough. But God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And if it takes something hard to break a stiff neck, let God do it. Because out of that, the murderer Saul, the blasphemer Saul, became the Apostle Paul. And all of us this morning sitting here, we are part of his fruit, aren't we? We are. We're part of his fruit. Think of what you've read in the New Testament and how your heart and your lives have been changed. And so that's the next one. But some of us are saying, that's still kind of tough. Okay, the third one. Ready? The Holy Spirit is a person. Don't what? Don't lie to him. Don't lie to him. You say, I would never. I would never lie to the Holy Spirit. Right? Let me give you an example. Do you know where that example is? Where is it? Acts chapter 5, and it is Ananias and Sapphira. Please don't name your children Ananias and Sapphira. Although one Ananias was really a godly man, right? Because he's the one who prayed for Saul, and God healed him and filled him with the Holy Spirit. So maybe that's not such a bad name. But this is in Acts 5, chapter 1. Oh, the Holy Spirit's in the church. He's doing all sorts of things. Oh, wonderful things are happening. Barnabas, the son of encouragement, gets some property, sells it, and he brings the money and he lays it at the feet of the apostles, which to me seems a little bit weird, right? What if I were standing here offering time, right here, and I would say, okay, bring your offerings and tithes, and all of you would bring your money, and while I'm standing here, and you bring it, and you just put it at my feet. You pause just a minute. We're glad you're here, too. Come on in. That's okay. Well, she's not going to be playing rugby for a while. Her hands. We're glad you're here, too. Amen. Why did they do that way then? Everything was open, right? There was nothing that was uncovered. And so they would just do it very openly. I still remember, hey, money counters, do you remember some years ago there was a complaint from the Lighthouse money counters? I thought of this as I was preparing yesterday. Oh, I forgot to get an example. Ida, have you got a $10 bill or a $20? Or somebody, anybody, whoever's first, give me one. But I'm going to mess it up. Who's going to? Thank you. I'm so sorry. This is really pretty. The money changers. That's really bad. The money counters in Lighthouse had a complaint. They said, Pastor, please, would you tell people to stop crumpling the money? I'm so sorry, Ida. I'll give you a different one. People would get their offerings and they'd crumple it like this, because they didn't want anybody to see what they gave to the Lord. Right? Right, Jenilyn? I think Jenilyn used to do it. I'm not sure. And so nobody could see how much they were giving to the Lord. And they'd put it down in there. And then, I am so sorry. And then the money counters would have to, wow, that's really bad, Ida. The money counters would have to uncrumble the money. And so the money counter said, please tell people, don't crumble the money like that. It's really troublesome. But I understand it. Sometimes we just don't want people to know who we give to God, right? And sometimes we may feel a little bit shy because I don't have a lot of money to give to God. It could be either one, right? And you know what? In Lighthouse, God help us. If somebody has $5 to give and that's all you have, then you with joy and with pride and honor in the Lord, put that $5 in there, or that $10 in there, or that $10,000 in there, or whatever. Because you think I'm asking for money, don't you? I'm not asking for money. The point is, we give to the Lord, right? And we give not to hide from people, but we also don't give for honor from people, right? And that's what Ananias and Sapphira did. And so Barnabas brought his money. Probably it was known. Let's just say this is what Barnabas brought. And he brought it and he laid it at their feet. And apparently it was a lot because it was noticeable in the church. And people, wow, look, Barnabas has given that. But it was for God's honor. So Ananias and Sapphira see that. And together, what an unfortunate combination. They agree together. We want to give to God also. But we don't want to give it all. We're going to sell land, and we're going to give part of it, but we don't want anyone to know it's just part. We want everyone to think, whoa,
they're just like Barnabas.
Right? So that's what happens. He kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. So Peter says, and I want us to see this, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. And then he goes on, it was yours. You could do what you want to with it. The point was not that they only gave part, as we see. The point was they gave part, but they wanted people to think it was all, right? That was the point. Notice that Ananias apparently doesn't say anything, right? He doesn't say anything. He doesn't say, oh, Peter, here is all of the money that comes from the land that I sold, and I've brought it all. Apparently, Ananias just brought it and laid it at the feet. Nothing, it seems, nothing is said. But Paul says, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And when I was reading that, it really struck me because nothing was said, but it was still lying, wasn't it? It was still lying. And this is where I think it starts getting into things that can be part of Christian life as well. And I urge us, and I just, we are not perfect people. We're not perfect people. You don't have to tell everybody your sins. But you know what? In the house of God, there should be grace for who you are, which is a child of God. And you are a work in progress, and you are in God's hands, and God is still working with you and working in you. Don't be something you're not. Don't lie to the Holy Spirit. Ananias thinks he's lying to Peter. Peter says, you're lying to the Holy Spirit. Why does Peter say you're lying to the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is in charge of the church. And his other name is what? The Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. Don't lie to the Holy Spirit. Let him work. And we know the result. We know that he is struck dead. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. And this always, I'd like to talk more about it. We won't this morning. I just want to say this. Sin, lying against the Holy Spirit, is more serious than we think it is. We can get pretty casual, right? It's not casual to God. It's not casual to God. The Holy Spirit is a person. Okay, now, in the few minutes we have left, here's where it really touches you and me. There are two more, right? So the first one, he's a person. Don't blaspheme him. Don't resist him. Don't lie to him. And here are the last two. Don't quench him. And you say, quench. I don't use that word very much. Can you give me some other words for quench? You can look at your Bibles if you want to. Different translation. Can you think of another way to say this? What?
Don't smother.
Smother. That's a good way. Okay.
Suppress.
One translation says don't stifle. Okay. And one translation, which I really love, is this. Don't put out the Holy Spirit's fire. That's what one of the translations says. Quench, this word is usually, it's often in the Bible used with putting out a fire. Okay? So, and this is where as Christians, this starts getting into our territory. Okay? Let's look at this verse real quickly. This is, I don't even know where. 1 Thessalonians. This was a great church. And Paul's writing to them. And he gives them some instructions, especially as they're gathered together. He tells them, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will. And then in the middle of it, he says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. And this is really important here. So don't put out the Spirit's fire. So what is Paul talking about? And then he says with it, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything, hold on to the good. This morning, when I stood up, I said to you, I have a word from God for you. I didn't prepare that yesterday. It was not in my notes. as we were worshiping this morning, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Let me say it this way. I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, tell my people this. I stood up and I said, I have a word from the Lord for you. You need to keep going and don't stop. That was a prophecy, okay? You say, isn't prophecy about the future? Sometimes, but usually, prophecy is an inspired word from God in the moment when we need to hear it. Now, all of you sitting there, what do you do? What do you do? First of all, you don't put out the Spirit's fire. You don't treat it with contempt. In other words, you don't automatically say, here goes Pastor Jen again, saying it's a word from God. She always says stuff like that, or something like that. Don't do that. But I am imperfect, and I'm a person. God's perfect, right? God's perfect. And so perfect God brings a word, but God's word and God's message comes through an imperfect person. This is why some of you are so scared. You're so hesitant. You're so, you lack confidence to go to somebody. And you're so, you just think, you feel, there's something in your heart and you feel like you should say it to someone. I know that. I know that. And I'm looking at you all right over here. I mean it. But I'm looking at everybody. There's something in your heart and you feel like, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? What if I don't have it right? God put something in your heart and you feel it's a message from God. You go to that person. You share it. God's perfect. You're imperfect. You do the best you can. What does the other person do? The other person doesn't put out the Spirit's fire, does not treat it with contempt, but does test it. Lord, was that from you? Lord, what Pastor Jen said, does that fit with your word? If it doesn't fit with God's word, reject it. You don't have to accept it. If you feel like, God, I think that's you. Lord, I am not arrogant. I'm speaking really just informally with you this morning. Not arrogantly, but I really felt such confidence in my heart. And I've really been praying. I really felt, Lord, that's a message from you for us this morning. Okay? And for those of you that may not have heard your friends will tell you what the word from the Lord was a little bit later. But I had such confidence in my heart, Lord, this is from you. And so I was okay to say that to you. There are some times when I'm standing, when we're worshiping, I'll feel something and I'll think, Lord, is that you? And then I'm not sure. Lord, I think it is, but maybe it's just me. If it's just me, I can still say something, right? I can still say something. I can encourage you because the Holy Spirit lives in us, right? And the Holy Spirit lives in you. Please don't think, I can tell we're not going to get to the last point, but that's okay. We have to stop with this one. But I want to encourage you all. I really mean this. One of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do in Lighthouse is he wants to use you. I mean this, brothers and sisters. He wants to use you. He doesn't just want to use me. You may think, oh, Pastor Jen, I sure do love your preaching. And I'm so glad that you do, if you do. But you know what? I would love even more that you would begin with confidence to begin to encourage others and to share with others. You may not feel tingles. You may not feel like, oh, it's the Holy Spirit. But I really mean this. You may feel like, let me encourage this person. And it may just feel like a natural thing. Then encourage. Because we can encourage one another in the Lord. But prophecy is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God gives to his church through his people to build up his people. And so, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Now, there are other ways, but we're going to stop with that. And just trust the Lord to use you. Trust the Lord to use you. If you don't, let me just give you this verse, and we close with this. I promise. We close with this. If you reject prophecy, if you reject what the Holy Spirit is doing, if you quench, if you stifle, if you put out the fire of the Holy Spirit, do you know what you will miss? And do you know what others will miss? Everyone who prophesies speaks to people, that's us, for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. How many of you need strengthening, encouragement, and comfort? Everybody. Everybody. How many of you would like to strengthen, encourage, and comfort others in Lighthouse? I hope so. So, don't quench the Holy Spirit. I mean it. Shall we close with this prayer this morning? Let's ask the Lord to help us in this area so that we don't quench the Holy Spirit. Are you okay with that prayer this morning? So you don't want to quench the Holy Spirit in your life, right? God wants to use you. If you think God's only going to use me in Lighthouse and not you, God help us. I am just one person, but God wants to work through you too. So Lord, here we are this morning. We come to you. Holy Spirit, we know you're a person. We believe that. We do not want to blaspheme you. And we don't want to resist you either. And Lord, we pray for those who right now are so hard-hearted, who are so stubborn and stiff-necked, who are resisting you. Lord, we pray you do whatever you need to do to bring that person to yourself in the same way that you did Saul, whom you made Paul, the great apostle, who we will meet one day in heaven. Lord, we don't want to lie to you either in any way in our lives. And Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, you're at work in our hearts and lives. Forgive us if we have been quenching you, if we have been putting out your fire, which is burning in our lives and wants to burn more and wants to do more. Help us not to quench you and your work and your ministry in us and through us. And Lord, we give ourselves to you for your gifts, for your people. Would you speak through us, and may we strengthen, encourage, and comfort our brothers and our sisters. Lord, we can't do it, and we're really nervous about it, but you can. And so here we are. Here we are. Would you do this in us? And we will say, thank you, Holy Spirit, and thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go get them. Okay. One more prayer really quickly. Who's going to Europe? Who's going to Europe? Dubai. Oh, Middle East. Even with this, you're going. You're not going anywhere, are you? Can we pray for your arm this morning? Okay. She said, okay, if you need to go, that's okay. But you know what? These are two beloved daughters of the church. Amen? Amen. And one's going to Dubai for how long?
4 weeks.
Okay, Moma's going to be in Dubai? A month in Dubai. Let's pray for them. Okay, young adults, you're going to pray. Gather around them. Yeah? You have to stand up, I think. Ruth, that's you. Any other young adults? Rebecca, that's you.